This evening, I want to look at, more generally, the gratitude of Hannah, her thankful heart, her grateful heart. We've been looking at this first chapter for the last couple of weeks, and I promise that we'll move on, but Hannah is really an example of gratitude. An example that we can learn from. If I were to ask you, what is wrong with the world today? What would your answer be? What is wrong with the world today? Well, we can think of all sorts of evil things in the world. The immorality and violence and falsehood and injustice and oppression and all the things that you see every time you turn on the evening news. But are they really the root problems of, or are they results of other things? The Apostle Paul, as he was setting forth the biblical anthropology, the biblical doctrine of man, he pointed to a couple of things in the first chapter of Romans. He said that people suppress the truth that they know about God. They suppress it in unrighteousness. They can see the truth about God in the creation around them, but they push it down. And he says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their thinking, their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, giving thanks, being grateful to God, is one of our great sins as people. It's a fundamental sin, a sin that leads to other sins. When we acknowledge God as God, when we understand who God is, that we are creatures living in His world, when we put Him in His rightful place, thankfulness, gratitude follow with it. We live in an intricate, in a beautiful world, from the vastness of the galaxies all the way down to the DNA that is in every part of your body that we cannot see. We live in a world that is ruled, that is governed by a good God, a wise God, a loving God. And for everything that we have, everything that we are, we should be thankful. We should acknowledge Him even in the natural things. Even in the natural things of life, as Hannah does in the life of a child. Let's look at Hannah's answered prayer. Hannah comes, she's, as you know, she has been asking God. She has been pleading for this child. She has been going to God on her own behalf, really, asking God to be merciful, asking God to remove this, what would have been a great dishonor in her, in that society. To be childless in that society was considered something of a curse. And she was hounded by her, by this other woman, this other wife, who had a family. She had a family, and Hannah was there all alone and tormented by this, by Peninnah. And she comes asking for God to change her circumstances. Now, if you think about her, what her circumstances, and from a sort of just a naturalistic, just a sort of a common point of view, it wouldn't seem like really that big of a deal. It's okay, it's a woman who desires children but doesn't have them. That happens. And, you know, she's just kind of unlucky that she doesn't have what she would like in this world. And then when she has a child, well, good for her. She got what she wanted. It's a very natural thing. We wouldn't be here if people didn't have children, would we? It's a pretty common thing in this world. There are scientific reasons. Science could probably show exactly why Hannah, if she'd lived in our time, have a naturalistic explanation for why Hannah wasn't able to have children. Maybe it was a chemical or hormonal imbalance. Maybe it was nutritional. It's God works through physical things. This is His world. So there are ways of looking at it. We can look at the same exact scenario and see it from different perspectives. So if we look from a naturalistic perspective on our own circumstances, we can see things that are beyond our ability to acquire, beyond our ability to achieve. Perhaps you're looking for health, and it's beyond your ability to get it. And so then people will often turn to prayer as sort of a last result. This is a last-ditch effort. Well, I've tried everything on my own, and now I'll turn to God and see if He can do something about it. And looking to God, and then if something miraculous happens, it just poof, it's gone, then God did it. But then if you find a new doctor with new medication, well, it's the doctor that did it, and the scientists that came up, and the pharmaceutical company that created the medication. You see, we can shift our focus to the natural world and not give God the glory. Wouldn't it have been easy? Wouldn't it have been simple for Hannah to look at this? It says very clearly that this child came by ordinary means. She wasn't like Mary in this aspect. She had a husband. It's ordinary means. It's just the natural thing. She could have looked at that and said, well, God, I prayed to God for this, but it's really just now I'm able to have children, and maybe it's the nutrition, maybe whatever it is, she had a vitamin deficiency. She could have looked at that and said, well, you know, if God had miraculously given me a child, then I would give Him thanks. But since it just came by the natural means, then why do I really need to give thanks? Why do I really need to give God too much credit since she was involved? You see, we're so used to what we can see, what we can know with our senses, and in fact, we are inundated. We are constantly told that the world around us is a natural world, that, and science can explain everything around us. And it robs us of gratitude towards God. It's an intentional robbing of gratitude towards God when it comes from certain avenues. Certain people intentionally desire to take glory away from God. This is God's world. He is the one that created the natural means, the natural world that we have around us. And as we're told over and over again to look to science, science has given us answers, and religion is sort of a thing of the past. It's a quaint superstition, or it's okay for sentimental reasons. But it's such a nearsighted thing to look at that and to look at the natural side of things and say, this is the extent of it. This is the extent of the answers in my circumstances. What is it that governs this world? You see, that when we're told that science has the answers over and over again, Well, where does science, what is science? It's an observation. It merely observes what's already there and deals with that. It's governed by laws that are already set in place, the order that we see. Hannah could very easily have looked at the natural world and not given God thanks. But when she saw this child that had come through natural means, she gave God the credit and she gave him the thanks because she understood God as the first cause, that God worked through natural means. It's not contradictory to see the natural means, to see the natural world, and then to give God thanks for it. It's not a contradiction to give God thanks for the medicine that we take, because it is His world, it's His laws, it's His governance of the world that allows us to understand the world around us, to achieve medicines, to achieve answers. You see, if we don't give God thanks for this, if we don't give God thanks for what He has done, even in the natural world, it's a way of not acknowledging Him as Creator, as not acknowledging that He is the one who gives this world order, that has brought order out of chaos. You see, if we don't understand this, we can have a very short focus on a very stunted idea of the world around us. And it will rob us of thanks. It will rob us of gratitude. Oh, are you grateful for the ordinary mercies? Do you express gratitude when you pray, God, please heal this person? And He does it through doctors. Do you give God credit for that? Do you give thanks to Him? Do you praise Him for being the one behind this? Let's look at Hannah's grateful heart. Hannah's grateful heart. She expresses her gratitude in sacrifice. She brings sacrifices to Shiloh, to the tabernacle. It's worth noting that she is worshiping God in the way He has ordained. She's not coming up with something new. She's not trying something different as to show her own unique way of worship. But instead, she's doing it in the normal way that God has set out. This is how we ought to give thanks. So she has, here it says that, it says in my version, she took, in verse 24, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought them to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. The Hebrew here literally says three bulls, not a three-year-old bull. The English translation, if yours follows that, if you have the King James, I believe the King James says three bulls, but I believe my translation is following the Septuagint at that point, and it says a three-year-old bull. As some commentators have pointed out, that the amount of flour that she brought was about triple what was required of her, and she wasn't required to bring bulls at all. She was to bring something smaller. So what you have to understand in this little sentence, in just this little description, is this is a woman with a very, very grateful heart. And her praise to God, her thanks to God, is extravagant. She isn't holding back on this. This is a lot. She is bringing a lot to the tabernacle. You think of, compare her with Mary. As we get into chapter 2, this you'll find that this song, this psalm of Hannah's, is actually quite similar to Mary's Magnificat in the book of Luke. And many people think that Mary modeled her thanks off of what Hannah sung here. But look at Luke chapter 2. Mary at that point had given birth to Jesus. So it was a similar circumstance. At that point they had the temple, Herod's temple at that point. And so Mary's bringing her sacrifice. It would have been a sacrifice for purification for Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." You see, Mary is bringing her sacrifice to the Lord. She's bringing little birds. Hannah's bringing bulls, three bulls. And it isn't a difference in the gratitude of the heart, because, as I said, you compare the two songs and you see that their hearts are the same. Their hearts are filled with gratitude. They're singing to God. But you see, God had given, He had gifted, He had blessed Elkanah and Hannah with a more rich living. And so, and Mary, the mother of our Lord, was poor. And that's how we can tell that Mary's poor is, you know, first of all, the giving birth in the manger, in the stable, and then giving these young pigeons instead of bringing a lamb. But Hannah here, God has blessed her. God has provided for her, and she brings generously out of that abundance that God has given. She gives abundantly. Each of us, God has given different circumstances. And so when we give thanks out of the circumstances that He has given us. So we don't ask that the poor go into debt to bring gifts to the church. We give out of what God has given to us. And so it's even in our giving, even in our praise, even in our generosity, we acknowledge God as God, that He is our provider. Think of the woman that Jesus saw in the temple, pointed out, with her two mites, her two copper coins. Jesus said she had done more than the ones who brought in bags of money. Some gave out of their riches and they gave just a little, but it looked to the human eye like it was extravagant. But He said that widow, bringing her two copper coins, which are worthless to man, she gave all she had. So what she gave was really greater in God's sight. We honor God with what He gives us. In that, we acknowledge Him as God. Now, this is an extravagant gift that she gives, but it's not as though God needed her sacrifices. God wasn't just interested in her bringing animals. It's not as though God is hungry and in need of food. This is an expression of thanks, a glorification of God. In Psalm 50, It says in verse 12, if I were hungry, this is God speaking, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And this is what she's doing through the sacrifices, because that was the way that God had ordained. And she was true to her vow. Part of her gratitude is being true to her vow. She acknowledges, God, you are the God who has given me this son. And so she fulfills her vow and acknowledges God as the one who has done this by bringing her little son, probably 3 years old or so, and dropping him off at the tabernacle. That's an incredible act of devotion. Her mother's heart must have been torn to leave that little one, especially since all of Israel knew that Eli's sons were dirtbags. There were bad things going on in Shiloh. But she leaves him there because she had vowed to the Lord and she fulfilled her vow. In Ecclesiastes it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. And she follows her vow. Our standards, actually, in the Westminster Confession, I think it's chapter 21, somewhere in there, it deals with oaths and vows. And so if you want to know more about the Christian use of vows, You can read more about it there, because that is something that still goes on today, that we are to make vows. It's not something used as much today, but it's something that is useful. It is still an ongoing means of acknowledging God and showing thanks to Him, of showing our devotion to Him. So Hannah, through her vow, she acknowledges God and gives Him thanks. And through her, the words that she uses here in these last couple verses, she uses the word ask a lot in this. And so one pastor has rendered the Hebrew more literally, and I'll read that for you. Verses 27 and 28, this is how he renders it. For this child I prayed, and Yahweh gave me my asking, which I asked from him, and I also have given back what was asked to Yahweh. All the days that he lives, he is the one that is asked for Yahweh. So she is saying, I asked him from the Lord, and the Lord gave. She's giving all credit to God in this. She's taking none of it to herself, none of it to her husband. But all credit is given to God. We all have a duty of thanks in every aspect of life. It's been one of the, really a black mark on the people of God through history, that we haven't been a grateful and thankful people when we should be leading the world in worship. We should be leading the world in thanks. We've often been an ungrateful people. The classic example of that is the children of Israel in the wilderness. God had saved them. He rescued them. And they were constantly ungrateful. They were constantly giving thanks to other things. The golden calf. When God had rescued them from Israel and then he brought them through the Red Sea and he was giving Moses the laws, what did they do? They made the golden calf and they worshiped that. Here's your God, O Israel. This is the one that rescued you. They found other places to put their thanks, other things besides God. When it came to the problems that they faced of thirst, and hunger, real problems They really were going to die of thirst if they didn't have water. They really were going to die of hunger. The hunger pangs really were there. You see, life is full of painful things. Things that require faith. Things that are not pleasant. And in that time, they were called still to be a thankful people. Not necessarily be thankful that they were hungry, but they were called to be thankful to God for His deliverance from Israel, or from Egypt rather, His deliverance from Egypt, His deliverance through the Red Sea, and looking to that gratitude that they had to put their faith in Him for salvation in the future, that He would take care of them in these circumstances. Their gratitude was supposed to be focused on God. It wasn't to be removed just because their present circumstances were not as good as they hoped. Lack of gratitude to God, lack of acknowledgement for His blessings, can in fact, and often does, attribute imperfection to God or call into question His goodness. When we are not grateful, when we complain, what did the children of Israel do? In their complaining, they questioned the goodness of God, the wisdom of God. Their lack of gratitude led them into further sin. Think of other commandments. Can you be a thankful person, someone who is grateful to God, and covet? If you're thankful, you're content, you're grateful to God for what you have, then you're not going to go and desire what other people have. What about adultery? Is a thankful person, a thankful heart, going to seek someone else's spouse? And we could go down the list. And ingratitude towards God, lack of acknowledging His goodness, leads to all sorts of other sins because of that fundamental denial of the goodness and provision of God. Christian, you are called to thankfulness. You are called to a life of thanks. The Apostle Paul, if you did a short study of the Apostle Paul talking on giving thanks, being thankful, being grateful, his own gratefulness, it's a constant theme. Just let me give you several of 2 Corinthians 4, where it is all for your sake, so that grace it extends more and more. To more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Ephesians 5, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And we could keep going. The Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is insistent that the Christian life be one of thanksgiving. It's even in heaven. In heaven, in Revelation, the picture of the angels and the saints in glory, glorifying the Lamb. In Revelation 7, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We're called to thanksgiving, and we are given a clearer basis for thanksgiving than any other time in redemptive history. Hannah is dealing with shadows and types, and she's using it well. And you think of her, she's among an ungrateful people, the very people who made the golden calf, or the descendants of them, if you want to be technical. But she's there among an ungrateful people, and she is acknowledging God as God. He is the one who is given. He is the one who answered her prayer. And she's giving thanks. And you here have the entire redemptive history. You have a full knowledge of salvation in Christ. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the clear promises of God constantly before you that He will be your provider. He will take care of you. That even should death come, that He will be with you. That He will take care of you. That even if your life is taken, that's not the end. It's only a beginning. God doesn't always answer prayers in the way we hope. It isn't always answered as clearly as what Hannah received. Life can be full of pain. But we're called to be a grateful people. A people that acknowledge God to be God and our God. The one who made us, the one who sustains us, the one who keeps this world, who gives us life, gives us eternal life in Christ. And just a few points of application. Don't fall into the devil's trap of complaining about life circumstances. This is something that's easy to do. It is so easy to sit at work and talk to coworkers about how dumb the boss is and how terrible the circumstances are and how lousy the money is. It's easy to complain about housing or health, whatever it is. It's one of our pastimes all too often to complain. Instead of complaining, follow the instructions of Scripture and intentionally give yourself to thanksgiving. Second, be a light to the world around you. We talked about that this morning, being a light to the world, that hearing the word and applying it to life. This is a way, a very practical way, to apply God's word to your life, to be thankful. Remember that you are the example of gratitude to the world. So if they look at you, you're a person who claims to be saved by the unmerited grace of God, have been the recipient of God's mercy, that Christ Himself came and gave His life so that you might live. You have, above all people, reason to be grateful. So as the world looks to you, are you being a light to the world in your gratitude to God? Are you thankful for the salvation that He gives? Are you thankful for the provision that He gives? Are you an example to the world? Do you lead the world in the gratitude towards God? And thirdly, let your thanksgiving be extravagant. You saw what Hannah did there. She used what God had given her and expressed her thanksgiving to God. She didn't just cheaply do it. She didn't just give her nod of thanks to God. So don't be like Hannah. Don't just give a minimum amount of thanks. Don't just, when God answers your prayer, don't just give a small nod of thanks, thank you God, and then move on with your life. Be extravagant. Go above what you believe to be the required amount of thanksgiving. Give yourself intentionally. Meditate on all you have to be thankful for. Be generous with the time that you allot to praying, to giving, to thanksgiving in prayer. Brothers and sisters, don't focus your minds just on the natural causes of this world. It's easy to do. It's easy to keep our eyes on the ground, keep our eyes on the natural world around us, and forget that this is God's world, that He is the one using even the natural means to work His will. He is the sovereign God. Everything that we see around us, everything that we experience, is within the power and the will of God. And so, for everything, in all things, we should be giving thanks. Be thankful for all His blessings to you. Remember Hannah, a grateful, thankful woman among an ungrateful people. Then take her example. Swim against the current and be a thankful Christian in an ungrateful and godless world. Let's pray. Lord our God, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for good examples for us to follow. We thank You for salvation in Christ. Lord, we pray that You would go with us now, that we would go from this place renewed and rejuvenated, invigorated for a new week, and that we might, in this new week, be a light to the world, that we would be a thankful people. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.